It's time to take this game into overtime.
The official podcast
of the Average Joe's Sports Show
on 90.9 The Light Sports
for our generation.
We're going to get right into the NFL as they've got some games coming up this week. Let's talk about Cam Newton versus Russell Wilson on Sunday Night Football.
That's going to be... I don't know what to think of this game. Like, I'm excited. I don't even know. I mean, there's so many things that you could say about this game, but I'm going to say Cam is going to have a great game as long as he stays away from Richard Sherman, which I think he's smart enough to do that. If he keeps the ball away from Richard, I think the Carolina actually has a pretty good shot at winning this.
Does Carolina have any shot of winning in Seattle on Sunday night, Kyle?
Yes, they do.
Why?
Because what they've done over the last 2 to 3 weeks is they've started kind of reverting back to what they were playing last week.
I agree.
I don't think they're going to win. Do they have a shot? Yes, they do, because I don't think Russell Wilson's fully healthy. Something's been off since he got hurt.
I agree.
Yeah. If he is fully healthy and if he comes out and he looks remotely healthy in the first half, I don't know. Well, Jimmy Graham's healthy.
The problem is that the Panthers' defense is just so beat down now. Without Kuechly.
And that's just
And then you've got Ryan. Both of our centers are out for the season. Our starting and backup center is out for the season. That's
but see,
a major
Cam's
blow.
So big, he should be able to hike the ball to himself like schoolyards.
Yeah.
And still be able to, you know, get around.
See, but that's what people expect. People expect Cam to be Superman. He's not Superman.
Well, when you act like you're Superman for 2 seasons or 3 seasons,
people start to assume,
okay, if you think you're Superman, we're going to treat you like Superman. And then you hear what's gone on this season. He doesn't like it. He brought a lot of this upon himself based on how he acted towards the rest of the NFL. I'm not even talking about officials. I'm not talking about, you know, the commissioner. You know, I'm not even talking about coaches. I'm talking about the way that he acted to the other players and his showboating and what he did gave them the reason to want to show him, okay, if you think you're Superman... He said it himself. If you don't like me dancing in the end zone, stop me from getting in the end zone. And then this season, you see people stopping him from getting in the end zone. And now he's whining. And you've seen him complain. Now, I agree that some of his complaints are very legitimate because there have been some calls very questionable.
Very
questionable. And that's player safety issues. But there have been a lot of calls that are not questionable that he's complained about that he put himself in those situations. If you... tuck your head the way that he tucks his head and then he gets hit, that's not always on the defender, and that puts the defender in a really horrible position because how are they supposed to hit? And I love what Ray Lewis said. He said, I had a head hunting eyes where if my eyes could see them, I was looking for their head because I knew of that. If I could see their head, that meant my body was up and my shoulders were straight and my back was straight, which meant he was hitting somebody safely. Mm-hmm. And it was head hunting in the sense where he had to be able to see them. If his eyes, if he couldn't see them, that meant he was in the wrong position and he couldn't see their head. He knew that was going to either hurt him or hurt that player. So
do you think that Russell Wilson versus Cam Newton is still a primetime quarterback matchup?
At this moment, yes. But I'm really worried because of what could happen in this game could really affect the postseason for the Seattle Seahawks.
But they've already grown a pretty good lead in the NFC West, well, so I don't see how this game can make a huge difference.
Because it's physical.
It is.
Because,
it will be.
Because in this situation, you have teams that are going to want to cut each other's heads off, basically, in the way that they're going to play.
Carolina and Seattle are not friends.
No,
they're not friends.
Not friends. West
Especially
Coast, East Coast, as far
now,
as you can
now,
go.
Now, speaking of not being friends, what do you think of Richard Sherman's comments about Cam Newton last year and, you know, him throwing the 12th man flag after the Panthers? Okay, first of all, it was at Carolina.
Doesn't matter.
He did not take it from somebody, and they had just won the game. He was hyped up. It was a divisional round matchup. Do you really think that the way Carolina's played this year is bad karma for what Cam did to the 12th man flag
I mean,
last year?
karma. No, it's not bad karma. But the way that he did that, that was somebody, that was a fan who was coming to support, that he took their flag and threw it.
But he was waving the flag in front of Cam Newton's face after the Panthers had beat the Seahawks. Like, he's asking.
Would you have done the same thing?
No. I would have gotten the heck out of the stadium. Like, my team just lost the game.
I like board the bus as fast as you can and get out.
You're like, you're in hostile territory.
Either way,
not something that, when you go to the front lines and
but that's wave, still,
that's like waving your gun around in front of your enemy and saying, hey, don't take this from me.
He's got a point.
A flag just turned into a gun.
It's possible.
I'm really confused. But
analogies.
Back on topic. Richard Sherman, I've never had anything negative to say about Richard Sherman. A lot of people think that he's arrogant. A lot of people think that he's outspoken. He is a smart,
smart
person.
He's a very smart man.
4.0.
Yeah. At Stanford.
Worked his way out of Compton. I mean, this guy is extremely intelligent. And the only thing that a lot of people have against him is when after the game he went up and basically yelled at Aaron Andrews about how he was the best cornerback in the league. Now,
which he had a point that he probably was at that time.
Statistically, he was. Yeah. And I call it egotism that is right. Because,
okay, but if you don't have an ego, you're not playing in the NFL.
Right.
That's right.
And in a situation, we praise so many people. We praise Cam Newton for having an ego last year.
I don't know about that.
Last year, did we not? We were like, oh, he's just having fun.
Yeah. And I had no problem with Sherman saying what he said.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, he can back up. He can speak, but he can also back up what he said.
What he does, though, is he thinks through before he has a plan. Before he even sets in front of a mic, he has a plan of exactly what he says because he knows, and he studies his players. I swear, he's got Sensu's Art of War on his nightstand. The way that he talks, because you don't hear him. He's not a trash talker like Steve Smith. He's not one of those people who will just cut you down over and over and over like Josh Norman.
Yeah,
he's somebody
which is garbage.
Who,
don't even get me started.
He's somebody who will hit on such an intelligent level. It's 2 weeks later before people realize, no, Richard Sherman called that. And not only did he call that, he backed it up. And then he did it. And then after he did it, he didn't say anything because he knew he already said something. Yeah. And so in this situation, I think Richard Sherman is getting inside Cam's head exactly how he needs to get inside Cam's head, because now everybody's talking about it, including us, including ESPN, including FS1. You have everybody who's talking about this moment, which, you know, Cam's ego is going to be paying attention to these things, which means he's going to prove himself. And I have a feeling that Cam is going to specifically find different moments where he's going to try to throw Sherman's way to prove, no, I'm a quarterback who can do this, and Sherman's going to make him pay. And I think that's what Sherman wants him to do.
See, I'm just saying, if I'm a cornerback, I am not going after probably the most athletic quarterback in the league, because he is going to find a way to expose you, whether it's only one time.
I don't know if he's the most athletic quarterback anymore, though.
Cannot keep up with Ted Ginn in a full-out sprint. And I guarantee you that at some point Cam's going to hook up with
but
that.
But at the same time, Sherman's so smart, I don't think he's going to get in that position, because the way that they play their covers, their safety is very quick. And they have two different tells that the cornerbacks will do to get the safeties to slide their way. Sherman's extremely great off the block. So Ginn is smaller. I wouldn't be surprised if Sherman jams him every single time within those 5 yards, which sets off that timing. Now, if Ginn gets by him, all he has to do is, I don't know what the tell is, but I know they have him, and that safety will come over top. And again, these are big players. You've got Cam Chancellor and things like that playing in that backfield. If Ginn catches it in an open field where there's a tackle available, Ginn's not very big. So that hit is going to either lose the football or fumble, or it's just going to hurt really, really bad.
Yeah, and Seattle's not exactly the warmest place in the world this time of year. So.
No.
But I mean,
getting hit when it's cold hurts.
12th man is going to play a huge factor, because
on a Sunday night,
always plays
versus Carolina.
Versus Carolina, it's going to be loud.
Such a good game.
So don't be surprised if Cam gets booed.
Probably. I mean, 12th.
Especially after what happened last year with Panthers beating them in the regular season and in the playoffs.
In Seattle, it's. Yeah.
So
that's right. Going to be one to watch.
What's
so
next?
Let's move on to Jared Goff taking on Tom Brady.
Did we skip Dallas Cowboys?
No, we're going to come back to them. We're going to come back to them. Don't worry.
How dare you?
We are going to talk about the Cowboys, but I have a feeling that one's going to go for a bit longer than the rest. So we're going to move on.
Did you guys see Jared Goff, though?
Jared, he played well.
Yeah. I was impressed. First half, yeah. He played well. But see, that's also one of those things where.
But you've got to get him experience.
We went golfing the other week, yeah. And the first few, after I got through the first few that I started playing well, and yeah. Then it kind of slacked off again.
Yes.
I honestly kind of attuned this to this. He hasn't played a lot.
No.
He got in swing a little bit, and then you saw him kind of sink into
There's
routine.
Nothing better than game action.
Yeah.
And the Rams aren't making the playoffs, so why not go ahead and put him in?
Yeah,
like,
it's not like he only has 4 years of eligibility, and you don't want to burn a redshirt year. This isn't. Why not use him if you're not going to win without him?
I honestly thought that's what Jeff Fisher was doing. Yeah.
I know they didn't want to play him until he was ready. But if he's not ready by now, I mean, he's the number one draft pick. You wouldn't have drafted him number one if you didn't think he could play in the NFL. Yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying. Anyways, so.
The fact that Jared Goff didn't start
versus Tom Brady.
This long. Yeah, Tom Brady.
Who do you think is going to win this game, though? Because
Rams defense is really good.
I was going to say, the Rams have a great defense.
And now that Gronk's out.
Yeah, I say Gronk's not in there with Brady. Although Brady does have a very high QBR in sets that only have one tight. They do still have Marcellus Bennett.
Which is an amazing backup.
Yes. And he's actually paid more than Gronk, by the way.
Yeah, which is insane.
Gronk is the lowest paid best player in the league. So, anyways,
me in the back.
Yes.
I haven't got my hand up. It's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, though.
Like, yeah.
We've seen them play.
But with Jeff Fisher on the hot seat, though, do you think that the Rams could rally around
Mr.
them a little
bit? I'm not worried about Mr. 8-8. I definitely don't think that Belichick is going to lose this game.
And it's in Foxborough.
But at the same time, too.
It's in Foxborough.
You've got to look at all the different implications because you are so right about the Rams' defense. They're so much better than they started the season at. And they were really good last season and the two seasons before that in St. Louis. And now you have the LA Rams that are kind of...
I think it's cool they play in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I wish they could stay there.
Well,
although
it's kind of
old.
The new stadium's going to be beautiful.
God, it is going to be gorgeous.
Anyway, I think there were some moving pains in the defense and in the offense especially, trying to get transition. That's another reason
A big transition.
That's another reason why I'm a little bit nervous about what they're going to do with Jeff Fisher after this season or in the middle of this season, because he is somebody who stuck with you during a long move. This wasn't a Houston to, Nashville.
I don't know how Jeff Fisher still has an NFL coaching job, though. That blows my mind. Like, he hasn't had a winning season in a long time.
Very long time.
But think about the different, areas that he's been in. Since he left Tennessee, he hasn't really had options.
Like, it took Oregon one losing season to fire their head coach. And the Rams have had a lot.
Yeah, but we're talking millions versus multi-millions. Hundreds of millions. And this is a huge move that they did, and the whole reason why they stuck with Jeff Fisher is because he's done a transition move.
Yeah.
And I think for what he's done, they're good. Like, think about it. They moved how many thousands of miles?
They did move a lot.
Yeah.
This is 53 men moving.
Well, and
this is families.
They didn't have their practice facilities set up.
They didn't have practice facilities.
So the locker rooms were
Jared Goff was not developed the way that they thought he was going to come into the moment. He didn't have the ability. And I don't know if you guys saw, I don't remember who did the interview with him, but they were asking him what was the hardest thing, and he had to name a play that he had to call. And he couldn't quite get the play down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's at. I think Jared Goff's abilities in practice are there. His playing abilities there. We saw him make some really good throws. But
they've just got to get his mental ability.
Right, which takes time. That's not
people
something
don't understand how complex these NFL play calls are.
Exactly. Yeah. And even Paxton Lynch, Monday night, John Gruden did an awesome thing where he was talking to Paxton Lynch about what his most difficult jump to the NFL was.
Spider 2Y banana.
Yeah, like
that's a legitimate play call.
But then he had to play call that they had here, and he said, a 16-word play.
Yeah,
I mean, these are huge plays that they have to memorize, and you go from spider whatever banana in college to X, right, Z, double, bubble, whatever, you know, going on and on. That's an extremely difficult task, and we forget how intelligent these quarterbacks have to be able to do this, which is why we respect people like Tom Brady, who has done this for years and has memorized it back and forth.
Oh, the Patriots playbook is burned into Tom Brady's brain right now.
I don't even think they have a copy of it. I think it's honestly just Belichick and Brady that have a chip in their head that they communicate to, like, back and forth, because it's ridiculous on how they're going to do.
The Patriots might as well just fire their offensive coordinator and pay Brady a little bit extra.
I honestly would not be surprised if after Brady retires, if he does that.
I could see that, because he knows it so well.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go 27-14.
27-14 Patriots?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to go 30-14.
30-14 Patriots?
Patriots.
You know, I am just in an upset mood today.
Oh, my God.
I'm in an upset mood today.
Wait, it also has to be noted, if Brady wins this game, he becomes the all-time winningest quarterback in NFL history.
Well, it's not going to happen this week.
In less time.
It is not going to happen this week. It is going to happen next week.
Because Rams.
Because this week, the... Well, I about said St. Louis Rams. The Los Angeles Rams are going to take down the New England Patriots. 17-14.
ESPN has a 7.6% winning chance for the Rams.
Do you hear
that?
Well,
that's 7. So you're telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's a chance. And I'm going to take that chance.
You know what, though? With Marcellus Bennett, I do feel like that's going to be a little bit more difficult for the offense. You're going to see a lot more short passes, almost like an Aaron Rodgers-esque, Mike McCarthy-esque offense from the Patriots to make sure that they get those short bubble screens and some lower passes. So you'll see movement from White. Blunt will have probably a heavier running game. And then you'll also see Edelman and Amendola get a lot of passes short. So
next, we've got Eric Berry and the Chiefs defense traveling to the Georgia Dome to take on Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and this potent Falcons offense that seems to just not be able... That's a good word.
It is a great word.
Crisp, potent. We are all kinds of words today.
Potent.
Nobody seems to be able to slow down this Falcons offense. Except themselves.
Yeah,
yes.
They do kill themselves.
So do you think that the Chiefs... Who do you think is going to win this game? Do you think it's going to be the Falcons offense or the Chiefs defense that plays a bigger part?
Falcons offense. Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, combo. It's hard to... I don't care what defense That's a hard combination to stop. Julio Jones is just too aggressive off the line.
And you also just picked up people like Gabriel.
I was going to say, Matt Ryan does such a good job of using everybody in his offense.
But I do think that if you transitioned Matt Ryan for Ryan Tannehill or any other B-class quarterback, you would have the same effects with Julio Jones because of what Julio Jones
Are you telling
does.
Me you're putting Ryan Tannehill in the same class as Matt Ryan?
Matty yeah. Ice?
There's nothing that has set him apart. Where has he proven himself anything special as far as long-term wise? He's had a lot of good games. Don't get me wrong. He's a good quarterback. But a lot of the quarterbacks that are B-class, you know, your Andy Daltons and stuff, they have had some really good games because of people like A.J. Green or, you know, Jarvis Landry.
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
So I think if you put him in the class of Julio Jones, who is a superhuman, who I believe was, you know, made on some former planet or another planet of Krypton or something like that. Because
Thank you for making the Supergirl reference there.
I'm just saying,
I'm glad somebody else in this room watches the CW besides just me.
Oh, I watch the CW, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
How do you not? Krypton is the planet that they use in Supergirl, as that's where Supergirl's from.
You do realize that Krypton's where Superman's from. Like, from the comics. Oh my gosh. Dude, your face is awesome right now. Oh my Lord!
I'm not a Superman.
Kind of fan. Anyways, okay.
So I did not watch Superman growing up.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
But I do watch the CW. We'll have to talk about it another time.
We will.
Anyway,
we will.
I do really like the Chiefs. What they're doing, how they're playing, their depth. And Tyreek Hill has popped out on, I don't know what happened, but you have Macklin on one side and Hill on the other.
Well, Jeremy Macklin's questionable this week.
This week, yes. Which could play into the factor. But Tyreek Hill has been lighting it up on everything. What did he was in the group of Gale Sayers, wasn't he, where he had a punt return, a kickoff return, and a wide receiver catch or whatever for a touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's heavy praise for a new, you know, player who's coming out. And I do still like, you know, Andy Reid is... The only thing he has against him is the way that he clock manages. Other than that, you have a really good quarterback. You have Alex Smith, who can actually, like, you know, manage a game aside from the clock management. but other than that, he's one of the best people who you put him on the field, and he knows exactly what's going on before anybody else does.
Yeah, now let's not forget, on Atlanta's defense, Desmond Trufant, injured reserve. Got placed on injured reserve the 29th of November.
Yeah, but even in then, I don't think that's going to affect too much, because you do have to look at what they're going to lean heavy on the pass rather than the run, and because the Chiefs have a great run defense, so it's going to be really difficult either way. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't know what the score is, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
All right, well, I'm going to take the Falcons in this game. I think the Falcons are going to win 27-24. I think that could be a legitimate
14-17. Game. I'll go 14-17.
Okay. All right.
Low scoring.
Well, we are going to move on to my favorite game of the week. That was the Dallas Cowboys versus the Minnesota Vikings. It's already happened.
This was a trash game.
Yes, but it was a hard-fought football game.
It's a trash game.
By the Vikings.
Yep. Yes. the Cowboys managed to win 17-15. The Cowboys won their 11th straight game with Dak Prescott as their starting quarterback. They started out 0-1, lost to the Giants, but have reeled off 11 straight. That's another good word for the day.
Reeled.
I'm on a roll this morning.
Butter.
Yes, call there me butter, because I'm on a roll. I haven't used that one since probably my freshman year of high school. But
Bring it back.
Dak did not really impress this game, but he made big plays when he needed to get this win.
What plays did he make?
Okay, did you not see the touchdown pass to Dez Bryant?
I mean, well, you mean the one way down the field?
Yeah. Or?
Yeah.
That wasn't a touchdown.
Yes, it was.
Did they count that as a touchdown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kyle.
Sorry.
Doubting me. Don't doubt me.
Jeez.
At the same time, though, Romo would have made three of those, so.
Wow, are we going? No, we're not getting
that. We're not having that conversation.
We're not having that conversation. We'd be here till midnight if we had that conversation.
What? I could finish it in like 5 minutes.
But Dak Prescott is the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and that he will be.
That is true.
For probably the next 10 or so years.
Hey, mark my words, though. Romo's going to go to the Broncos next year and win a Super Bowl. Yeah, they have everything in place, though, for Manning.
They do kind of have
They're set up for making sure a decent quarterback has everything in place that can make sure they make the plays, keep them healthy.
I feel so bad for Paxton Lynch, though.
I wouldn't. You know how awesome that would be for Paxton Lynch?
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian would become basically the nothing in what they're doing. Tony Romo would come in. Paxton Lynch would back him up and learn.
Okay,
and
well, then in that case, I would feel bad for Siemian, because Siemian has become a better quarterback this year.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's a great backup quarterback. I would put him ahead of Josh McCown.
Okay, would you rather have Siemian or Paxton Lynch?
Playing right now? Siemian.
No, backup. Like behind Romo.
Paxton Lynch
behind Romo.
All right.
Paxton Lynch is more malleable, and he's...
And the Browns will go get Siemian, and Simeon's career will die, as everybody else is there goes to Cleveland. So...
No, because I truly believe that if Robert Griffin III can stay healthy, he played really well.
Okay, Cowboys-Vikings. What do you think about Dallas this year and their chances of winning the Super Bowl?
We're going by Dallas's past, like, playoff games on that kind of stuff, no matter how good of a season they have, they always choke in the playoffs.
Remember,
they have Super Bowls.
The Super Bowl is in Houston this year.
What?
So.
I knew that.
Just saying.
I didn't know that, but I did.
It is in Houston this year, so that'd be crazy to have the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Okay, just a few thoughts real quick on this. You guys do realize that Sam Bradford outplayed
Dak Prescott.
Oh my gosh, 32 of 45 with what, 247 passing yards and a touchdown?
Yeah, and then
tore it up.
Did you see Dak Prescott?
Yeah, 12 of 18 for 139 yards.
139 yards with one touchdown. Now, he didn't have any interceptions, and his QBR was 57. I mean, both of them were 57. But at the same
time, play to win the game.
Okay.
Who won the game?
But Sam Bradford played to win the game, and he was down there and then got hit in the face.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody called that.
He wasn't completing that pass anyways.
It didn't matter. You saw him lean back because he was going to get hit in the face. That's player safety. That has zero to do about the game. It has everything to do about player safety.
The Vikings would be able to convert.
I don't know if they would have converted.
Two-point conversion.
Don't tell me that Sam Bradford didn't play to win the game when he put everything he had into it until that very last play where he clearly was getting punched in the face. I went to junior college for a semester, and I'm right here now.
Oh, my gosh. Because why not? Why not talk about the Jets?
Where's old Mixie when you need him?
Where's old Mixie when you need him?
Are we talking about turnovers?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
Well, we are if we're talking about the Vikings game, because that really killed him. But
okay. There were two turnovers that were just... Yeah. I agree.
It really did.
That's,
it killed them.
That's why they lost the game. But don't tell me their defense lost that game. Dallas had how many yards?
Not many.
17
not
a points. Lot. When was the last time we saw them with...
They had 264 total yards, but the Vikings only had 318. 318. The Vikings didn't have that much more.
No, and that's not... That's a testament to how difficult it is to play
the Dallas defense.
No, that's a testament of how difficult and how weak the offense of the Vikings is right now. Plus, they didn't even play with their head coach. They played with an interim head coach. That doesn't factor into it at all.
And you're also looking at an 11-1 team versus a 6-6 team. The role that the Cowboys have been on, I was expecting a blowout against the Vikings coming into this.
Okay, in Minnesota on a Thursday night, like...
I was still expecting
a
blowout.
That was the Cowboys' third game in 15 days.
I mean, Zeke even...
They both played on Thanksgiving. They both had the same amount of rest. Don't give me that crap.
I mean, Zeke didn't even have that great of a game. 20 touches for 86 yards.
And when was the last time you saw that happen? What defense stopped him? Baltimore was the number one
the
rush
Vikings
defense.
Vikings have a really good defense.
Yes, they do. Yeah. And they all played very well. And
they did.
I don't think they played to lose the game. I think all of them gave it their very best and they got hosed.
You play to win the game.
Oh, my goodness. Calm down, Herm.
All right. Oh, man. We could go on about this for hours, guys.
Yeah, we could.
Can we?
I don't know. I think Mixie might get mad at us if we don't get off the air by noon.
Well, okay. That's understandable. But seriously, what other games this weekend are you excited about? Because I'm excited about so many of the games weekend.
I'm excited about Pittsburgh, New York.
Why?
Because it's Antonio Brown versus Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, I had a great question for you.
Oh, geez.
Who would you take right now? Would you take Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, Big Ben.
Big Ben for sure.
That's why.
Because I'm a Rodgers fan, and I think the past couple years he has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But Big Ben is just...
He's consistent.
He is the most consistent quarterback.
Other than Tom Brady.
But I mean, then you have to look at what Big Ben's done over the years. I mean, the stats he's put up, the records he's put up. I mean, how many Super Bowls has he won since he's been with Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Two, three?
Roughly,
two Super Bowls with Pittsburgh. And every year. I mean, it's not like he's had a bad year.
Rodgers has one. Aaron Rodgers.
But Big Ben just puts up consistent numbers year round.
The other thing too, and this is where you see it. Aaron Rodgers, when he had the best QB rating of as long as QB rating has been a thing, I don't think it's been of all time, but of QB rating, his claim during that time was he desperately wanted to be coached. Over the last few years, all of that attitude has gone out the window. I do not see him want to be coached. I see him want to be arrogant. I see him want to be in the spotlight, and I see him want to make plays. Now, he's good. Don't get me wrong. It's not like he forgot how to play football. But darn, it's very apparent that something's off in the way that he is looking at defenses.
And I agree,
afraid of throwing downfield, because over and over every game I watch him play, he is afraid to throw it long. And that's the difference. Big Ben will throw it long into a window of nothingness and trust that his great receivers are going to make it between Sammy Coates and
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that is what a quarterback is knowing your receiver and saying, you got me, I got you.